Welcome back to Making Connections, the show where a guest and I take a deep dive into a newly released machine video by reacting to it and then overanalyzing it literally frame by frame. In this episode, we're taking a look at the Tea Making Machine by Blue Crabs, and joining us on the show for the very first time, Blue Crabs. Welcome.
Hello, y'all. Hi.
Anything you want to say before we get started?
I released this machine like two months ago. I don't remember, but
we're a bit late.
It's somewhat recent, but we're doing this live in the studio right now. So
yeah, so it should be mentioned that we are in person recording this episode because we are both taking part in Reactica this year. And fun fact, as part of Reactica, we each had to put together some builder bios, just little clips of our previous work alongside just a little bit of information about ourselves. And so about every half an hour or so, I would see up on the screen Blue Crab's bio, and this video, or at least a clip from it, would play. And so I'd have to look away from the screen, like, and like religiously not look at the screen while this video was playing. And I've done a good job of it. I've seen just like every, like, a little bit of a frame here and there, but nothing to spoil it. So this is genuinely a first reaction. But is there anything that I should know before we actually just get started, or should we just go in raw?
I think we can go in.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Go. A little intro. There's my name. Last year, I made a machine that can make. There's some lore.
Some lore.
I know that machine. I actually like, so I decided, let's make a
machine that makes some green tea for me. So here it is. That's what this frame is from. I glanced up and saw that once. I'm like, what?
Oh, and we're going.
Okay. So I'm picturing this as be as like some kind of assembly line where occasionally it just returns to it to do the next step of the tea making process.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay, so rotates first. Whoa. It just kind of topples off. All right, so we got some rotation, some lever action. So it rotates again. Okay, what's it doing now?
It's pouring the water, the hot
pouring
water.
Pouring the water. Okay, so we've got a funnel here. I see a launcher that's primed and ready to go. It goes through the funnel into the cup. What did it do first in the first position?
What do you mean?
Well, it stopped here originally, right?
Oh yeah, it hit a ball right there under that, and
okay,
also launched the auto.
Nothing went into the cup.
That goes.
Okay.
The ball goes, and
so the funnel had to be positioned perfectly for that to land in the right place. And now we dunk the tea bag.
Now we have to wait 3 minutes.
Wow, this is gonna take forever.
You know, pull out your watches and start whistling, y'all. This is gonna take a while.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to smash subscribe. Alright.
I'm pretty proud of that little clock, though.
Yeah.
I think I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we can talk about the plate that it's, like the disc thing that it's spinning on.
Oh, yeah, those spinning.
So how long is this actually? You said 5 minutes?
It's like three.
3 minutes?
Three minutes, I think, in real time.
That is a lot of string. And so, okay, when it gets to the end, it just, there's a magnet I see on there. I guess we'll find out. So it's definitely going to go through here and push the 9 ball. Yeah, so there's the magnet disconnects. Perfect.
Pull goes.
And then it just perfect disconnects the magnet itself. Nice. So sliding. Oh, a lot of launchers. Sliding, and then it tips. Then it launches. Then it removes the tea bag. Nice. Now it's green tea.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Now it's green tea now.
Okay.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, so this I missed a little bit of. Collapsing box, and then this position, it doesn't do anything in that position.
Yeah,
gotcha. So then we got some fun action in the back here. The trimmed Kinex rod. I spotted a trimmed Kinex rod.
It turns on a drill.
A drill.
Yeah.
It is not escaping my notice, by the way, the very complex like gearing system with the green straws on the on the main turntable in the middle. That stuff looks tedious to make. Oh, an auto toppler. Okay. That part was hard to miss. I got that part. Yeah, you're gonna have to definitely point out some of the intricacies beyond that went into the levers and things.
Especially at the first station, it's kind of hard to see. I was gonna put like some kind of light underneath the box that like the pot or the thing like stands on. But I guess, you know, that's what the screenling's for, I guess.
Yeah.
Get a better view.
And there's that part that I was waiting for. I love the disconnecting magnets there. Magnets linking into place. Perfect. And then it removes the teabag. Perfect.
Woo.
Well, almost perfect. There's definitely some spillage.
Hi, thanks for watching the Tea Maker.
I think the rest is just kind of...
Oh, and there's magnets holding it in place.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So we'll stop it there. We'll go back to the start. So I want to mention, first of all, that the way you make mechanisms is like basically exactly how I would make them, which is super trippy to look at. Like, your style as a whole is definitely different than mine. Like, the things you make are different, but the way you make them is very much the same, and it's so odd to look at, because I'm just like, did I make this and then just have amnesia? this exact lever base, or like this exact capla holder, and like this exact way of putting the two whites and then the yellow and then the orange and then linking it in the top, like it's exactly how I do things, and like the similar similar transition styles as well, of just like using frictional levers and using like release levers and compression rods and things like that. Let's just see how this starts. So
that took a lot. That took a lot of takes. There were like 10 takes where like I had to like perfectly move that teacup so that it would hit that ball, because like the actual like gear, the big Lazy Susan that it's on, like does like wiggle a bit even though it's like in its like first position. So that's why the magnets and the dice are there, to help me kind of position it
in the
right way.
And also so it doesn't shift as it moves.
Yeah. Because I think it does hit a few things, I think, in this machine. So,
do you want to talk at all about why there's a face on the mug?
Okay. That mug I used in the cereal machine. I had it just as decoration for some reason.
Okay, let me rephrase the question.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain why there was a face on the mug in the cereal making machine?
It's like this mug that I bought. It's like a YouTube... It's like, you know, on YouTube, there's like a store option for like YouTubers that have merch.
Oh, is it YouTuber merch?
It's a YouTuber merch for
this
music artist I used to watch back when I made this machine.
So... let's start there then. How many takes did this actually take, the full thing?
I don't remember. It was over like 150, I think. It took a long time.
So not like absurd, but definitely substantial.
Yeah. Most of it was in the beginning, actually.
That is usually the case. I mean, unless you're pushing it through when it fails, usually you'll have most of your fails in the beginning, just because that's what you're testing the most.
It's like a new cup.
Yeah, so this is all color-coded as well. Purple everywhere. There's a purple ball, purple domino, purple dice.
And then it goes to the blue.
Frictional lever.
Or the big one.
Yeah, very large and in charge frictional lever. And then does a little jump. And then mini connects to release another lever. That's another frictional lever to knock over the big box, which is again exactly the same kind of box that I have. It's like from Target. I can point you to the exact section of the store where you can find these. I'm not even joking. So what do we have here as like some kind of tension, so it's not just causing an earthquake every time it lands? I mean,
so,
first of all, it's hinged. I noticed that.
Yeah,
we got a shock
hinged.
Absorber there.
There's that yellow lever on the left is like pushing it up slightly, and then that frictional lever kind of nudges it and kind of...
I see.
Yeah.
So that's just off-table weight on the yellow lever.
Uh-huh. And then that kind of just nudges it enough so it can fall.
Okay.
So then there is, like, this, what's it called? Like, the connects, like, pull thing where, like, it's a...
Shock absorber?
Shock absorber, yeah. There's a shock absorber that actually, one, like, kind of makes it stop a bit.
Is
but
it
also,
this one under here?
There's two. There's one at the bottom and the one at the top.
There's one on the top. Oh, so there's a string.
The string pulls.
Oh, is it this? Oh, the yellow rod sliding through. Yeah, perfect. And you've got the spacers there so that it falls the perfect amount. Nice. So now we've got a block falling off as well. So that is caused by, let's see.
The lever just barely pushes it.
Ah, yes. Okay, so as the shock absorber slides forward, the blue comes forward as well. That's connected to a lever that pushes on the white one, knocks off the block. Okay, and meanwhile, this is also a form of a shock absorber. So you've got like a bunch of different methods of kind of controlling this falling box.
Yeah, cause there's like a ton of stuff. There's like a ton of stuff just around it that like is very, very, very precise. Like that red 15 ball like behind the box as it falls. Like that one is very, very precise.
Sure.
And there's some weights everywhere that like need to be perfect.
And so, there's a piece of like, is this?
It's like a
styrofoam
piece of,
or
it's like a cloth.
Cloth.
To kind of like, cause the shock absorber like does like touch the floor as it goes down. So that's a way of like controlling that as well. There's a ton of like
there's
stuff.
There's so much. Yeah, this is. There's a lot going on. Yeah.
Then that releases that ball right there.
Yep. Which is. Okay. It's just a mini taped or a super glued to the end of a Kinex rod. Instead of using a red rod, I guess. I don't know. So blue goes down across the newly created track, across the artwork. Is this a printout?
It's a printout. I did it all in Photoshop and then I just printed it out.
Nice.
As like a little, because this area was very unthemed and I was like, I don't want an unthemed section here, so I did like, I kind of made it as the intro part of the machine.
This is kind of like as close as it gets to a traditional chain reaction trick in this. I mean, there's a couple of launches and like funnel action and things like that, but as far as just like an unthemed full trick, this is probably the closest we get in this machine, would you say?
Yeah.
This is the collapsing box. Also, I own a bunch of Tricks track. I've never seen this one before. Where'd you get that one?
That I got from my bathroom when I 3D printed it.
There you go. So one thing to keep an eye out for when you watch Blue Crab's machines is the custom 3D printed parts that are littered throughout. And this is, I happen to know, one of them. I think this as well is one here.
Yeah, all the Tricks track besides that starting track here are all 3D printed.
Except the starting track. Yeah, this wooden one with the three holes at the end. Yeah, that's, they look so convincing. They're just, and then you get the luxury of creating whatever shape you want. So you've got a little slope there.
They don't look that good in person, though.
Well, you can sort of see the concentric rings from a 3D print, like doing the layers, but on tape.
Oh yeah,
it looks great.
Yeah,
yeah. And you've made this obviously so that it plays nicely with the dimensions of Tricks track, I assume.
It's like exact.
Yeah. Well, not just like the hole size, but also like the length is.
Oh yeah, length is good, and I think there are some like holes on the bottom where it can like kind of sit on top of a Tricks track if I really needed it to.
And so besides Tricks track, what else have you 3D printed?
Like Tricks track blocks. I like made my own blocks that are like the same exact dimensions as the Tricks track block. So I have like the regular blocks that stack, but I also have like some end track blocks where like one of the sides of the studs is gone.
Oh yeah. So yeah, the double
the
trimmed ones, yeah. And then you've got the train pieces too. Have those appeared in YouTube video?
The train pieces?
Yeah.
Not in one that's released. I did make a few screenling clips with the train pieces.
Ah, okay. So yeah. There's a train section in Reactica with the orange track pieces that are custom printed that we used. We made quite heavy use of them. So now, okay, we are heading into the next segment. So the blue ball releases a lever that is going to turn some gears. And so let's talk about this whole powerhouse of a powering mechanism for the entire Lazy Susan here in the middle. So what inspired this idea, or what necessitated this idea as a method for rotating the disc?
I think it was mostly just because of the trouble I had with my Machine Multiverse clip from last year, where it was the first one with the gears on the track that, like, spin on a Lazy Susan and whatnot. Like, Just that whole, just working with string with a giant wheel, Lazy Susan, is just not fun.
Having a giant wheel and then just having this tiny little rim that you can use to wrap the string around is kind of a nightmare. Speaking from experience, making the cake clip from Pasta Pepper, that's the method we used, and it definitely caused problems just trying to keep the thing with enough tension to keep the string from just slipping underneath or slipping over. And yeah, I can appreciate the pain that comes along with that. So this is a probably an over-engineered alternative, but definitely one that's sort of, you set it and forget it. Like, you definitely...
Yeah, it's like, once I had it, it was great to just reset, just turn it around. It's also inspired by the another Joseph video where it's like the pizza one, where there's like some nails or something around like the pizza thing.
Yeah, that does make sense. I would never have made that connection, but that does make sense. So this is geared up in such a way that allows this weight to kind of power the whole thing. Because you're dealing with a lot of friction, just like mechanical advantage from gearing it up in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gearing it. So all of these gears are necessary in some way.
Yeah, this one on the left is just to hold it back.
So this one here, that's just the ratchet mechanism, right? So the blue rod is resting in the teeth of the gear, and so when that's dislodged, it allows the whole system to turn.
Yeah, so once that gear goes up, that gear is just free to go.
Okay. And so this one, it's not lodged into this one because this one wants to rotate that way, and so it would be kind of useless. And this one is just there to make it easier to release from the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one obviously wants to rotate counterclockwise. This one wants to rotate clockwise. You can't really jam a clockwise rotating gear from the left. So
all those go to that like kind of star connects looking thing to power the... Because I was going to originally try and 3D print some kind of like rack and pinion type of connects piece to tape to the Lazy Susan, like on the edges.
Oh, interesting.
But... that's just too much, so I decided to just like put some straws on there and make just a really wide gear.
It would be hard and also kind of useless in any other context, like, because unless you've used the same exact size circle again, it would be, you know, because you'd have to make it like this exact diameter. Maybe it would have been cool to see, but I don't know. I think I agree that it's not worth it. So this is now rotating into new position. And that's just... and now you don't even have to release the gears again. Because you can just stop the board and the gears will just power themselves, right?
Yeah, that's what the black domino next to the teacup is for.
Got it. Okay, so now that can just kind of run up against something. Like, like that lever there. And now it's stopped. It's in position. And now you don't need to mess with the gears anymore because the weight's already off the table. It's already wanting to fall. And, whenever you release the new stopper, it'll just keep going. Perfect. Okay, so now we've got a new ball. This is multi-level. What did I call this? Multi-level lever? I don't know. Okay, so now short track, knocks the battery, releases the launcher, launches a billiard ball into a ceramic mug. All right. That never broke.
No, it never did.
It's always the things that look like they're so sketchy that are just like, what are you talking about? Worked every time. And they'll be like, yeah, that one lever that just looks so reliable actually caused so many problems. Sometimes it's very hard to tell what's unreliable in a machine. Oh.
Okay. I didn't notice that.
The target just really wanted to say hi. This did look a little bit kind of wonky when I watched it the first time, because it just, like, takes this wacky tumble off the side. And is this piece of plexiglass meant to flex?
No. I think it's just taped. It's just taped. Tape just does that, yeah.
Tape just...
I didn't want to glue, because that's, like, that gets impacted a lot.
Okay.
So then that falls, and behind that little box, I stole those from my old job, there's like a big gear right there on top of, like, the connects gear is on top of those like spinny things.
Oh, one of the ball bearing plates.
Yeah, and then that that's so also taped with the board, which is with the teacups on.
Okay, and that's taped with the board with the teacups on it.
What? Yeah, so it's on the connects gear and the board are both on top of the spinny thing.
Ah, okay.
That's how they both
rotate together.
Yeah,
gotcha. So as Well, so target falls off, pulls a lever, or pulls some kind of release.
Yeah, pulls a lever, which turns on a motor.
Oh.
Which you can see in the screen link version. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Okay, so where's the motor hiding?
Behind the box.
Behind the box.
Yeah, where, so like, other gear is. There.
Okay, and so as the square rotates, it pushes the popsicle stick and flips the sign. The sign flips down, hits the red ball, the 15. Meanwhile, it's all rotating. Is the rotation doing anything besides looking cool?
Not right now, no.
Not right now.
Well, the only other thing it does is turn off.
So the motor turns off.
Yeah. Motor turns itself off after a bit, after the end of the section.
So the ball never leaves the cup after it goes in. No. That's all I was asking. Okay, so red guy barely fits under that orange piece there. And then knocks off another weight. That pulls on a lever?
Yeah, that domino pulls on that lever.
That pulls on the one that it just passed under.
Yeah. Okay. And then that pushes that capla over and then lets that tea bag kind of fall and then swing.
Oh, interesting. So it basically like pulls it out from underneath. It removes the support from it, allowing it to fall.
Yeah, and then it swings and hits that.
Okay.
The reason I put a swinging teacup here is because this section needed, I think I wanted to have some kind of swing with the cup, the teacup thing. And also this was going to be my original design for launching the tea bag into the cup at first, because originally I had like a whole nother section here that was a flexogram that would like fall down and then there'd be like a clothespin on top of it and then a big domino would push the string and then let the thing fall into the cup at first for the first section, and then it would spin to the end of it. Well, like by the end, the last section where the timer is now, the last section would be like a giant other separate table thing on a stool that would like let down a big arm with a clothespin on it, and it'll take out the tea bag. And that thing got built. I have footage of that thing, and it sucked. It was probably the worst thing I've ever built ever.
Just in terms of not working, or in terms of looking ugly, or what?
Both. It was way overcomplicated. I'm so happy I just went with the simple like string going in and then going out thing at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a little, I guess a little thing from that little
era. It's a
little
homage to what could have been.
Yeah, so that swings, hits that domino with the popsicle stick.
And domino then with the popsicle stick. Capla, right?
Pulls that weird lever with the weird cut up connects piece there to hold
that.
Uh-huh. And that logo.
Let's not shame ourselves. We cut up connects for good reasons. If I will gladly cut up a connects if it's for the greater good. I have an entire bag full of mangled Kinex parts that are occasionally useful, and often extremely useful, to the point where I seek them out and go, oh, don't I have a little piece that's like screwed up in this dumb way? And then I'll be like, yes, I still have the tan piece that's sliced in half so that it's half the width. So yeah, I totally get it. I'm not shaming you at all. In fact, the opposite.
So it goes down into a cup track.
Okay.
And then it rolls down some more to the end of the table.
So actually I kind of want to talk about something else for a sec, which is just the decision to build half of this underground or underneath a table. Like, what was this part of the plan originally, to sort of have multiple levels of it and to have this sort of be underneath the bridge and then have something else on top? Just, is that a space concern? Is that what was going on?
Originally that big structure with the bridge, as you called it. It was there at the start. It was like one of the first things I actually built. So this section kind of ended up being built around
it. So you built that before putting the stuff underneath it?
Yeah, because it was like a whole different section underneath at first. And then this, later on, when I like tore up what I originally had to build this, I was like, okay, I guess I'll have to work around this a box. Because the box is being used for the swinging thing, but I needed something to go to the track that actually pushes the stopper lever for the gear.
So this whole section underneath here that used to lead out and lead to the next step had to be sort of rebuilt.
Yeah, this first station section, I guess, as you can call it, was rebuilt like twice.
Oh, wow.
Like, as I mentioned before with the flexogram thing, and then I also had some billiard ball trick thing, which didn't work, and it wasn't even that impressive. And plus, it was just unthemed. I was like, okay, I don't want just some random thing here that doesn't have anything to do with tea or anything. So that's why this exists, because it's like tea related. You know, it's like tricks still, but like it's tea related. You know, so
interesting. I feel like most of the time when something like this is added to a build, it's usually because, oh, I need another thing to happen, but there's no more table space. Let me just, like, add a bridge and then build it on top of what's already here. So to hear that was actually built in place before, super interesting. Also, there's way more to this project than meets the eye, considering that there's so much that had to be ripped up and remodeled.
Yeah, I was really wanting to make some kind of behind-the-scenes video of, like, all the stuff that got cut, because there was a lot of, like, if I count them up, there's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 different, I guess, maybe even 5 if you stretch it, like, 5 different sections that got cut and replaced with something else.
I'm sure that people would watch it if you made it. If you've got footage of it, like, for sure. I mean, it's a learning experience, if anything.
Yeah, I learned a lot with this, like.
Nice.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So we do have, so we go about 8-ball rolls through into a cup track thing. Is that 8-ball?
That's like a purple.
It's purple. Okay, so 4. And then
there's like that lever that like holds up that battery. Battery
that like bounces. Oh, it's just on the, okay, it's on the string. So, okay.
Yeah, it just pulls the clothespin that holds the tea bag.
It pulls the clothespin. Okay, so there must be a domino or something at the end.
Yeah, it's
of
a domino
track
with like a black piece lever on the end of that. It's like right that you can barely see it. It's like holds that. Then lets that fall.
It lets the battery fall. Meanwhile, the tea bag is falling. And that, that is what causes the tea bag to fall. Got it.
And it falls into this like balance weight thing.
So that had to be released perfectly at the right time.
Yeah, that failed like tons and tons of times. Or it would just like be swinging and then just like miss.
Oh, okay. I am just now realizing that I completely didn't even notice that this was a trick that occurred. Uh-oh. I'm realizing now that there's a trick here where it's like the swinging, the teabag is swinging back and forth, and then it has to be released at the right time for it to hit the target. Okay, that is cool. That's a whole other dimension to this that I hadn't noticed. Very cool. So a perfect target, and that just pushes up on a series of levers to knock another weight off the table, and that releases a ball. Very nice. And that's behind a lever for reliability reasons. I love it. Love it. So 11 ball exits, and that's what brings us into station 2. So that just releases the black dominoes that we talked about earlier. And then here we go. So now, what's going on here?
Well, that T-Vec just kind of has to just kind of go over that. Like,
okay, so that was already hanging.
Yeah, that just hangs there.
And so when it came into this position, it just kind of pushed it a little bit. And so now it's going to just kind of drag itself over it. All right.
It hits that lever, which lets that domino fall, then pulls another lever on top.
So this is just the black dominoes again.
Yeah, black dominoes hits that.
Gotcha. Knocks another domino off the edge, releasing a lever, releasing a ball. Perfect. And that rolls around a corner. Oh, this is sort of the on top of the bridge section. Are these just giant blocks of wood? Is that what this is?
It's a big box.
Oh, it's a crate of some kind.
Yeah, it's a crate, and that's how the the tricks track grooves kind of fit along that.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. Okay, so now that must be just a short little track segment behind, because it gets to the end of the track relatively quickly.
Yeah, it's just a domino there.
Okay, that pulls down on a lever. Oh, on a switch, maybe?
Yeah, it's like one of those like switch things that like Steve has on his Amazon thing.
Yeah, the it's a wall outlet thing with a toggle switch on the top.
Yeah, and that turns on the plug-in drill.
Okay. So now, is there like an extension arm on the toggle switch? Is that what this is?
Yeah, that popsicle stick there is glued onto the off side of the switch.
Okay, and so it starts on the off side, obviously.
Yeah.
And so it's level, and then when the domino falls off the table, it pushes down on the on side to turn it on, and that flips up the popsicle stick that's attached to the off side. And now what's this rotating disc with the block?
That is the off off switch.
Got it. Of course.
It just falls because it's heavy.
Yeah.
There's like a block on the spinny thing that kind of adds some weight to it. And then that big wooden dowel on the end kind of makes it want to go that way.
So now this is how we got the drill involved. So the drill is what, battery powered?
It's electric powered. It's powered by the plug-in switch. Drill. It's a plug-in drill that I bought for the original design for the big crate thing I was talking about, like the other separate section. Yeah. So I repurposed it for the part that takes out that lifts the big I don't know what you call that thing. The tea kettle stove.
Mini stove. Okay. Oh, actually, yeah. That's another thing that I didn't even. Well, I processed that there was something there, but I guess I didn't realize it's heating the water. So this is an electric, portable camping stove or something, right?
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. And it's on a hinge, and it's mounted, so this giant metal hinge taped and secured to the kettle, so now it's lifting it off the burner. Gotcha. Okay, so that's pulling down here. So drill is here. Plugged into here, and that's the toggle switch. Here's the arm of the drill, and it's got something to block the end. So the string is winding around that axle, up through here, and then around this pulley. And so it's tilting this way, and that's going to pour the water into the funnel.
And while that's going, it's going to eventually pull that lever that activates the autotoppler.
Got it. So I can see this one sort of starting to gain some tension. And so what's that one? Is that just counterweight? It must be, right? This one that's tension? The one that's in tension right now?
Yeah, it's a counter thing.
Yeah, because otherwise I can imagine this would already be just... Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be tilting and then pouring water everywhere. So that's there to sort of keep things balanced so that even when it's already vertical, there's still sort of enough pulling it in the other direction to sort of be able to keep it controlled. Okay, so now we've released the autotoppler, so there's that other string, and so the drill is still going, autotoppler is still going, we're pouring the liquid, and now the stopper on the string is getting to the point on the string where it's going to pass through the wooden arm to turn off the motor, or turn off the toggle switch. Am I right?
Yeah.
Perfect. So this is a classic technique of just having something, some fixed point along a string that eventually has to pass through a hole, and if it can't fit through the hole, then you can have the hole be attached to like a lever or something, and so it can pull the lever at a very specific point. So now the drill is off, it's no longer pulling, and the water is going to slowly trickle out, or slowly finish trickling out. Perfect. And now our autotoppler is almost done, and now the red ball finally gets its chance. Alright. And now we've got a launcher. Okay, perfect. So is that just a vibration trigger?
I think that was a fail. I think I just didn't notice when I filmed this.
Oh.
And then afterwards I was just like, yeah, then afterwards I was just like, well, I kind of don't have time for this machine anymore, so I'll just have to do that, you know? So if I could, I would definitely go back in time and, like, re-record that part. But, like, it's not like a fail, I guess. It's like a 1 second difference between it working normally and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't too much of a priority, at least not at the time.
That's cool. That's whatever.
And then that lever... that the capla hits releases that baseball little bat thing.
Oh, okay.
So you can't really see it.
So we've So we've gone through the funnel and the ball has hit the lever to knock over the capla, let's pretend, and that releases a lever, which I missed. It's hidden behind the funnel. Gotcha. There's a little baseball bat and that just swings counterclockwise and knocks it knocks the ejector pin on the launcher.
Uh-huh.
So what we didn't even mention yet is that there's also a launcher on the Lazy Susan with an extension poker arm thing, and it's lined up perfectly in line with the pin on the launcher. So that launches a Kinex rod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it needs quite a bit of force to actually hit that lever out the way.
This is so interesting. Using the force of a launcher as just like a sudden burst of like singular directional force. That's a very concentrated force.
Yeah, because that string on the gears is like pulled a lot more because it's like further in the rotation for the big Lazy Susan. So it has like more force than it did at the first station. So it's going to require more force at the second station to get it going again. Which is why I had to use the launcher.
I see. Yeah. Because when it's wrapped around all the way, it's going 360 degrees around, basically, or 180 degrees around, whatever it is. But now that it's pulling on it more directly, it needs more force. So that... What does that actually do? That rotates that lever. And then... That does what? Oh, it just... Oh, that's what allows it to pass by.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Perfect. And so now we're continuing to rotate around. And... Alright, I'm just letting that play out. Okay. So we've passed another lever. Black Domino has passed by another frictional lever, and that knocks the one ball into the track. Meanwhile, it continues on its path. It passes right by that lever, and then it hits a shock absorber and stops against this blue rod. So we are now in the final position, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now what?
So that ball rolls back through a curve behind this big string T-back structure. It hits some lever back there.
Oh, just some lever.
Yeah, it's a lever, and it hits... It does two things at once. It turns on the timer.
This is
timer.
A spaghetti factory. What is this?
Oh, God. So it turns on the lever, and then a domino, an orange domino, pulls a clothespin open, which allows the tea bag to kind of go into the cup at first. And then...
Okay.
So, yeah, then it's going to sit there for...
So what... What turns on the motor?
Just a weight. There's, like... It's a lever that, like... A really long lever that, like, pushes two things at once.
Yeah, we will see it in the screen link, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to that. There are a couple things that... We'll probably go through the screen link a bit quicker, but there are a couple things we can point out, because they're going to be a bit more visible. So we've got the teabag. So clothespin drops the teabag, and there's something to catch the teabag so it doesn't just, like, fall and just...
Yeah, that's what the small little connects mini adapter red thing is for on the end of that string.
Got it. Okay. And so that's holding the string?
Yeah, that holds it in like a hole so that it doesn't want to go all the way in.
Uh-huh.
And then...
And so we've also turned on a motor.
Yeah, then the motor goes, which I don't think I've seen this kind of technique to do a timer, which is just a string.
Just a string winding.
Yeah, because I noticed that, like, in old machine videos, like, sometimes we'll use a Kinex motor. It's painfully slow. So I thought, okay, why not use that for a timer?
So, sure. So, yeah, use the absolute agony of trying to watch a machine with a Kinex motor in it to your advantage to make a timer.
So, yeah, I
have these blocks, too. You have everything that I have. It's incredible. So it's just... And this is a custom printout with a little hand on it. So let's talk about these plates. These things are ball-bearing Lazy Susans, I guess?
Yeah. I just found them on Amazon. Just looked up small Lazy Susan. I was looking for them for, like, months. And then one day, I just finally found it one day when I looked up small Lazy Susan. And it was just there. But they're pretty cheap, and they're really useful. They hold on really well with the hot glue, and...
And just, the key thing is that they're just flat on both sides. And they just, you can just, there's enough surface area on both sides that you can make pretty much anything into a rotating platform, or a rotating, like, point of rotation, basically, some kind of fulcrum. It's incredibly useful. I didn't even know they existed until seeing them, basically, in the materials supply at Reactica, so...
I've
ordered some already. As if we weren't already clones of the same person with the exact same material supply. I've only exacerbated the problem by stealing Oscar's supply.
But yeah, that's a very important thing that I learned with this machine that I didn't do in Serial Machine, which is like audience communication, which is like a big thing these days.
Yeah, this is really telegraphing what's going on.
Yeah,
it's really
so it's a clock. Someone can look at that and be like, okay, that's a clock. Because if I didn't have that there... So, someone could look at that and just be like, okay, what the hell? What is this? This is a spinning trick. Like, this is boring. Like,
yeah, why does it need to be time-lapse? What's happening? Yeah. But this makes sense. So you said this is like a 3-minute...
Yeah, it was okay. 3 minutes real time.
Yeah. And so what do you... How did you make the... Okay, so the clock face itself is a printout, and that's attached to this sort of, like, arm made out of blocks. And then passing up through the center is, like, a cup, some kind of cylinder thing.
Yeah, it's just a cup, and then I glued a Kinex piece on top of that, sure. And then...
It's just like a popsicle stick or something.
Yeah, it's a toothpick.
Hand, or a toothpick, perfect, as the hand of the clock. So
that spins, and then the actual clock face doesn't spin.
Yeah, right. And this was a technique that I picked up on in real time. I was like waiting to see this because I knew magnets were going to be involved to make the, you know, to disconnect from the spool, so that, you know, it's not just the motor pulling on something infinitely and then destroying it, and then. Again, the same idea of having a fixed point on the string pass through a hole that's too small for it to fit through, so it just pulls on the thing itself, and that's a perfect way of making a timed lever here. And then, of course, the motor is still running, so it just pulls on the magnets until they separate, and now you're home free. You've got two magnets that are just going to spin around the motor axle forever, and that's, you know, you're not going to destroy anything. So this is a brilliant way of doing it, and this is exactly what, like, planning ahead and being thoughtful about using a motor. This is what that looks like. It's a little inconvenient to, like, go through the extra steps of making sure that your string is not going to destroy your machine, but when you, like, there is definitely an element of satisfaction of making something designed perfectly to, like, disassemble itself in a way that's really safe and non-destructive. But yeah, okay, so 9 balls released. There's another 3D printed track segment there at the top. Or I guess they're all 3D printed, but a custom piece specifically.
Yeah, it's like a very short starter track right there.
And then we roll around the corner, and now there's no need to even turn off the motor, which is the nice thing about this. And
pushes the domino,
allows
that to roll.
Just simple lever release, it looks like.
Yeah, just a magnet holding that, and then the magnet moves
way. We've seen the magnet in the screen, like, yes, the magnet release, and then these two magnets in the front latch to the two magnets at the front of the track, push a billiard ball, and this is another custom printed miniature slope. And then that knocks off another domino. That releases a clothespin. And there... Okay, so that clothespin is rerouted through an entire complex series of pulleys, right?
Yeah, so it's a really big pulley thing that goes off the table. And it's like a ton of weight to that cup up.
Oh, I hadn't even processed that there's nothing attached to the handle initially. And so that the mechanism by which the cup actually tilts... is something that kind of, it, like, hooks in as the cup slides.
Yeah.
Or as the mug slides.
That's like a hook from a clothes hanger. I just cut.
Nice.
To make, like, a hook.
That's a cool touch. That's really neat. And so that's why you need so much weight, because obviously it's lifting a mug. And there's a ball in there that was in there from the start. That's the first use of this ball, right? It's not something that was put in there early that I've forgotten about?
Yeah, it's just in there from the start.
Okay, good. My memory is still intact. So another track here, and so meanwhile, the whole timer, I guess we should mention, is just the tea bag that needs to, like, create the tea. I don't know much about tea, but that's what the timer was for. Okay, so now we're launching. There's the 8-ball that bounces off the it bounces off this extension arm into a, I guess, fruit thing, like a container from the grocery store, it looks like.
Yeah, I stole that too.
that is what it's for, though, right?
Yeah, it's just like a little fruit thing.
Yeah.
And then that pulls on a purple domino, which...
Okay,
pulls on
the spaghetti factory is activated again.
Yeah, so then that pulls on a purple domino, which pulls on a purple clothespin, which releases a weight in the back. That battery in the back is like the big weight that's going to pull it out.
So... Okay, so there's... What's this, then?
That's, like, a lever. That's just a lever that's, like... It hits that, and then on the end of that lever is the purple domino.
Okay.
So once that goes up, the purple domino slides off.
Slides off.
Yeah, right. And then...
The angle change of 2.5 degrees is enough to make it slide. I guess it's the vibrations partly as well. But I can see some... Okay, so there's the purple. It's kind of... I can see it hanging there.
Purple pulls.
That releases what?
A battery. Just a weight at the end of that. So the weight pulls up on the teacup.
Gotcha.
And then that pulls...
On the teabag? Yeah.
Yeah, and then when the weight falls all the way, the heavy weight falls all the way, it's going to pull on that lever, which hits the capilla, which rings the bell.
Wow. Okay. So completely justified the amount of strings that are going on back there. I didn't even notice that there's a bell at the end. Very cool. So now we've created tea. That's the final step, right?
Yeah, that's it. The bell
awesome.
Notifies the person in the video, like, hey, your tea's done.
Sweet. So we'll check the screen link to see if there's anything that we can see a little bit better from this version. I don't know if there's anything offhand that you'd want to point out.
I think this is all the same. This is all just...
Yeah, I think we can see pretty clearly everything here. I like spicing it up with... a little bit of handheld in the screen link version. We can see the bat a little bit better, even though it's not that step yet. But is this just, it's got to be battery or rubber band powered, right?
Yeah, it's a rubber band attached to that metal L thing.
Ah, okay. Yes, the L bracket. Got it.
And that goes, and now
nice
we're going to get a
tracking shot.
Going to get a good look
so
at
So here's
this.
The motor and the gear that's back there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, that's more or less what I pictured. And that knocks over the sign, that releases the 15 ball. Cool. And so yeah, underneath here is another one of those clear Lazy Susan disc things. Here's a good shot of what we don't see in the shot in the main
video.
Turns
on that.
So that's the lever to turn on the motor.
And then while the motor goes, there's a tiny Kinex piece down there that's like gonna eventually pull on the lever, which turns off the motor.
Whoa.
So it's like it's a double thing. It spins the cup and it also kind of winds up that string to turn off the motor eventually.
Nice. So again, this idea of having a fixed point on the string that eventually passes through a hole. And also another example of very careful and considerate motor usage. Be kind to your motors, friends. They don't know when to stop. So... There's the cup that we were talking about, the cup track thing. And now there's that black piece release here. Okay, and there's a whole stool back here, too.
Oh, yeah, that holds up the drill.
Ah, I think... I don't know if I necessarily process that there's an entire other surface that things are mounted on.
It's just for the drill, don't worry.
There's the drill. Got it. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily look like there's another surface back there, but it does make sense. And this is PVC tubing, I guess?
Yeah, it's just pipes that it cut.
Alright, and an auto toppler. This is like the actual Hevish 5 auto toppler, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like this Wendy's.
Yeah, I've heard about the story for the auto toppler that it's like some obscure Wendy's kids' meal toy from like, I don't know what year.
I had to buy from the Sketchy website like 5 years ago. And
wow.
I used it like 5 times, but I thought I'd use it for the machine.
Oh, and now we get an actual take of this working. with a different... There's no yellow rod here this time.
What do you mean? Oh.
Isn't there a yellow rod that, like...
Yeah, it's a white rod here. I don't remember changing that, but... I don't think it changes much.
Fake. And here's a shot. Oh, this is...
It's a good look at that.
It's a good look at the...
Cut Kinex piece right there, that white one. The release lever.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, because that white piece would hit the domino sometimes, and it'd stop the gear. So it's slice it.
And we get to see the projectile launcher of the launcher launching the Kinex rod into the lever to dislodge it. Yeah. Bang. Wow. So what is all this spillage? Like, that just happens because...
I think part of it is some of the water that just kind of dribbles out from the pipe. But also, it just kind of, I think... actually don't know. I think I probably just
there's a,
put
there's
too much
a tiny
water.
Tiny fracture in the cup, and it's just leaking out the bottom.
For some reason, that didn't actually wear down the dice. For some reason.
You use mounting tape on that?
Yeah.
It is meant to be waterproof to some extent, so it doesn't super surprise me. Okay, here's our good shot of everything that's going on back here. So clothespin. So clothespin first, right?
No, they're both at the same time. Lever.
Well,
down
I mean,
there.
First compared to purple domino and all the other stuff that happens.
Oh yeah. So orange domino first, and orange clothespin first.
Orange domino, yes. Great. Okay, so those are the two things back here. We see both of them fall. One and then two. So one turns on the motor, one releases the clothespin.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then so we get to see how the purple one is released later. It's this tilting lever. And that, if I can remember, that pulls up on... There's some weight hanging that gets released.
It's off frame. It's
we'll
like
see it later,
right there. Then there's this. So you can get a good look at that magnet lever there.
Oh, this one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the magnet release. So it doesn't move that much, really. It just kind of moves a little bit out of the way, and that's enough.
Yeah.
So obviously off-table weight is pulling the carriage, and then it latches into the coat hanger. Pulls down on the clothespin. Yeah. This we could see in the main shot mostly. Launches the ball. Here's the weight. So here's this whole sequence at the end. So we get it still bounces on the rod. It's just a feature.
It just happens. I mean, it never failed, so I didn't take it out.
Yeah. So there. Okay. So there's the release for the purple clothespin. Okay.
Uh huh.
And now we've pulled it up on the tea bag because of this fishing weight here. Okay. And now eventually it falls far enough. Eventually it falls far enough that it pulls on the lever to knock over the capula. Oh. It goes out of frame before it happens.
And then there's,
and there's
the tea.
Your green tea. Wow. Very nice. That was so compact. Just like this whole thing in one small area. Like, how big was this table? Not that big, right?
Yeah, it's like I think it's like slightly smaller than your thing. It's like the size of just one plank of the flooring things.
Oh, so one wide. And
yeah,
there's just three of them lined up or something.
It's like four, I think.
Four, but okay.
It's smaller. It's like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think four of the normal size and just lined up, I think that's marginally larger than my table, but just more square. So I don't know. I think I was expecting a more like traditional chain reaction steps or like traditional chain reaction tricks, as opposed to just like here's all the things required to make tea.
Because this is a bit different from cereal machine, where cereal machine is just kind of it's a machine that happens to make cereal at least.
Sure.
Well, this one's more just about the tea, really.
Yeah.
So there's less focus on just like whoa, look at that. You know, it's more just like.
So is that what you would do next? Is that like a new thing that you want to try? Is doing more machines like this, or do you want to go back to making traditional ones where it just like does something at the end?
I'd say the second option, because this one's cool. But at least for me, my one thing that kind of does push this a little bit below a cereal machine is just the waiting part. With food machines, it's just like there is this waiting, at least with some of them. Especially when things have to cook or like settle. With a machine, that's kind of, I don't know, like time lapses can work, but like they can only get you so far in terms of just like I don't know. I don't like it when the machine just like stops the action and you have to wait.
Yeah.
And then it goes. Yeah. So
my general rule of thumb is like if I'm ever forcing the viewer to press L on their keyboard, I'm not it's like I don't necessarily want it. But this is a masterclass in how to manage space and how to manage resources and how to do things in a way that seems very controlled, even though in reality it's not easy to like put a bunch of water in a mug and then put a tea bag in for the right amount of time and then have the proper timing delay and then like do it in a really cool presentation manner where you're like rotating it to each different step and each different part of the process.
Yeah, that's what I'm happy about this machine is just the actual just like I guess story part of it where it's like you can tell the audience can tell what's happening.
The visuals and the story of it are really what shine through. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's all, and that really kind of helps make it really cohesive, because you don't have a bunch of just unthemed random tricks that just happen to like do a thing at the end. You're building up to it throughout the entire process, and you've still got some pretty flashy moments in there, like the box falling and the teabag timing trick and like the mug that latches in and then tips with the coat hanger. And you know, I think there are like what, 3 or 4 launches in this machine with launchers. Like, yeah, it's got flashy moments for sure. It's not like it's lacking in that department. But yeah, anything else you wanted to say about it?
Not really.
All right. Well, thanks for watching this episode of Making Connections. As always, if you'd like to watch this episode from the beginning, you can find it in your subscriptions feed or on my channel page for the next week. After that, the only way to find it is in the Making Connections playlist. The link for that is in the description. Or if you're okay with an audio-only version, Making Connections is also available on podcast platforms, including Spotify. You can go to anchor.fm/makingconnections for more information. Thanks again to Blue Crabs for joining me on the show today. If you like this episode, leave a comment down below telling me what you thought, and subscribe to my channel so you don't miss the next episode. That's it for me. I'm Jack of All Spades 98. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll see you in the next episode of Making Connections.